Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, the podcast about staying sane on the internet. And today's show, we have a special guest. But first, I want to welcome our very special friend, Lauren Feldman. Welcome, Lauren.
How are you, John?
I'm super. How's your NFTs? Are you NFTing?
I'm NFTing like a madman. I was disappointed that I couldn't buy Elon's music, but I guess another time.
Non-fungible suris, right? Is that the thing?
Yes, non-fungible suris.
Well, Elon pulled his NFT. So for all those who aren't in the know, Elon Musk put up a NFT of a trophy that featured like a car and a moon and like a bunch of dogs, and it was spinning. And then he also did like some kind of like techno stuff. And a lady was saying NFTs are the future, and he wanted to sell this for, and it already went up to $1 million before. As a magnanimous ruler that he is, he pulled the auction, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, I like how he has to compete against the mother of his child.
Yeah. Well,
he's nuts. All right, I don't want to get into Elon. We spend too much time on Elon.
I know, right?
It's too easy.
So instead of Elon, let's bring on Alan. Why don't you introduce him?
Alan Barry Labuchan, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me.
So, Alan, in the vein of transparency, Alan is a client of mine. Alan is the CEO of a publicly traded company on the Toronto Exchange, Advance Gold. And what Advance Gold does is they're a mining company. They mine gold, they mine silver, they have some mines down in Mexico, which is where Alan is now, but they recently made a big move into lithium, John. Do you know what lithium is, John?
It's a pill that you take if you're depressed. Isn't that a thing?
That is correct. That is what lithium is. It's also a mineral that's going to power all of Elon's cars. Did you know that?
So is it going to power every car? I want Alan to answer this. So lithium's a fairly rare metal, right? It's difficult. It's difficult to acquire, let's say.
Yeah, let's start with that, Alan. Yeah. What is lithium?
Well, not according to our friend Elon Musk, who is a big user of lithium in his batteries for his cars. He says there's so much lithium that he's going to get it out of there easily as could be. Just having listened to you guys' early introduction there into lithium, by far the biggest use is in batteries. And in this big move towards cleaner energy, batteries are crucial for electric cars, computers, and really, if you want to move to solar, wind, uranium power, electric batteries are crucial, because you can't, when the wind's not blowing, you still want your energy. When the sun's not shining, you still want your energy. When the uranium power, you got to get it from the source to the user. And for electrification of everything, which is the future, you're going to need a lot of battery technology. And I really think that that's something that a lot of people in the tech world, including Elon Musk, don't realize is how much natural resources you need to do all these fancy things that everybody wants to do.
So, Alan, tell me a little bit about the actual physicality of lithium. What does it look like? What is, a comparable metal, all of that?
It's a white mineral that really doesn't have a lot of comparables, because it's lightweight. It has good energy density, the best energy density. It's crucial for battery technology, and basically it's mined primarily out of salt lakes. Now, salt lakes have different mineral compositions, And some of those salt lakes are economically viable to mine. Some of them are not. And there's lots of other variables that go into mining the stuff. And, you know, that's the bottom line. I mean, we don't want to get too much into the weeds of the science of how, you know, how you use lithium. What's more important is how much is going to be needed and why the price is going up so dramatically in the last few months.
Is it only available in salt lakes and salt mines?
No. One of the other sources is hard rock mining in Australia. That inherently has a very high cost to produce it. And this is no different than any other commodity. You know, it's going to come down to who can produce it at the lowest cost. And, you know, for example, the average world cost of producing a ton of lithium is about $7,000 a ton. The average cost worldwide is about $10,000 a ton right now. Not too long ago, maybe about 4 months ago, it was trading very close to the average cost of producing it. But there's been a big spike in the price in China because they're building their electrification of everything very dramatically, and they just can't get enough of it. Meanwhile, the suppliers of it just can't produce enough of it.
So 10,000 a ton to get out of the ground on average.
$7,000 a ton to get it out. On average, it's trading for $10,000 a ton right now.
So here's a question that I had regarding this. So in terms of like hydrogen cells and all the other stuff that people are thinking about, is lithium part of that, or is that more carbon fiber?
Well, it's a competing technology, but it's been around for as long as lithium, and lithium is by far way ahead because there's been a lot more research into lithium to make it safer, to make the energy density stronger, to make the cost lower. For example, you know, the price of lithium batteries has gone down dramatically, and at the same time, you can't produce enough of it. That's why the price is going up. And so there's a lot of new technologies, but, you know, you basically got to fight with the science. And right now the science is in the favor of the lithium ion battery.
Mm-hmm. And the question is how small can these batteries get and how much energy can we hold? Is it possible to flatten them down to like, I don't know, like almost like a record size? That way you have like a huge battery on the back of a laptop that allows you to manage the laptop longer, for keep the laptop live longer.
Well, the basically right now, think of a battery that you buy at the local store. Right now, the lithium ion batteries in a Tesla are just a series of a bunch of those little batteries. And the reason is that seems to be the combination that makes the most sense based on energy density, your safety, your rechargeability. All of those factors are in play, and that's why that's in such heavy use. Not too many years ago, I was at a Tesla demonstration, and they cut open it's literally like a series of the whole bottom of the car is like a series of those little batteries that you would buy at a local store.
Yeah, it seems like one of those like toy cars, but just instead of like 6 AA's, you're putting in 6,000.
Yeah, exactly.
What does this technology look like in like 20 years? And sorry, Lauren.
No, go ahead.
Well, I think that, you know, as far as we can see forward, you know, that's the thing. You got to look at where the science is going. And right now, they're not really looking at other, because lithium works so well, they're trying to make it the most efficient. And, you know, the lithium ion battery technology has only been around for about 30 years now. And, you know, in the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years is when it's getting much more used. And so, yeah, maybe there's other sources, just like there's other sources potentially in uranium, which is, really the most cleanest energy you can possibly get. I know a lot of environmentalists think of it like a bomb, but in reality, if you want clean energy that is base load energy to compete with oil, you have to go to uranium. And if you want uranium, you got to get it from the reactor out to the user. And to do that, you need batteries. All of these things that are called cleaner energy all need battery technology. And the most advanced battery technology is with the lithium ion battery. And it's the one that gets the most dollars for the science to study to make it more efficient.
I want to talk for a second, Al, about the state of the mining industry in general, how they're looking at it. Gold is obviously, having a good run and, more important than ever in some sense. How is your industry looking at lithium? Do you see a lot of other companies other than your own moving into the space? What's the general, vibe of the mining industry when it comes to lithium?
It's been pretty incredible over the last few months, Lauren. What I've seen is, like 1 week, for example, there was $100 million raised by, in financings, secondary offerings to fund. That was just 1 week to fund development of new mines. Where most of the lithium comes from are salt lakes up in the Andes. And part of the issue with salt lakes up in the Andes is they use a lot of water. For example, in Chile right now, they're using 65% of the water. That's kind of, if you want to ramp up production, that's difficult. Another problem with mining in the Andes is that they use the sun to leach away or to evaporate the water. And then you're left with a concentrate that has a bunch of lithium in it. And then you got to take that out of the concentrate. And so that takes about a 2-year cycle. I've been hearing for the last 5 years that there was going to be an increase in production worldwide. And in fact, in 2020, there was a 5% decline. And this all comes down to the economics of mining it. And so what makes our projects a little bit different is that we're what's considered an unconventional source. The conventional source is the lithium, the lakes, salt lakes up in the Andes. Well, as I said, there's some issues with that water, and also you're dealing with deserts, so water is going to be a big problem, and also this 2-year cycle. So if you want to produce more from there, it's a 2-year ramp up to get there if you got the water. So I think what's going to a trend that you're going to see is a movement towards alternative mining sources. And what makes our salt lakes different is that all of the lithium is bound up in the smallest size fractions. So think of it like baking a cake. If you put it through a filter, you can get away 80% of the heaviest stuff stays in the filter, in your sieve, the rest falls to the bottom. From that 20% of material, then we can use a technology which is called heap leaching, which is what really revolutionized the gold business in Nevada. In Nevada, you had a lot of what was called no-see-em gold. You couldn't actually see it in the rocks. It was so low grade. But because they could do heap leaching, they were able to bring the costs of producing it down to like $5 a ton. And so if you had $30 or $40 worth of no-see-em gold, you were able to mine it at a huge profit. And so we're kind of going down that road of new technology. And when my company got in, just in the last 2 weeks, got into the back into the lithium business, we are looking at new technology. We bought a test plant. Previously, there had been studies at the lab level that this is bound up in the small size fractions and the non-magnetic material. So you can basically use a sieve and a magnet to get rid of 80% of your material. So then you take what's left and you use heap leaching, and you can get out a pure product very rapidly. For example, at the lab level, they were getting it out at 95% recovery in a matter of about 6 to 8 hours instead of years, as it is in the so we bought a test plant, we bought the lithium lakes, and we also bought the exclusive rights to a unconventional new method of extraction that, you know, all things combined, I think it has the potential to turn us into one of the lowest cost producers of lithium in the world. And right now we're getting ready for bulk sampling to take out a bunch of material from the salt lake, run it through the process, understand the economics, and then grow it into a mining operation in the near term.
I think what a lot of people don't necessarily get or think about with the mining industry is you guys have massive infrastructure costs, correct? In terms of getting bodies, machines, electricity, as you mentioned, water to these, you know, often really remote kind of desolate locations. I mean, that's a big part of it, isn't it?
That's true in a lot of locations. One of the reasons I moved from Vancouver, Canada, down here to Mexico, I live in a place called Zacatecas. And Zacatecas is the hotbed for mining of silver in the world. 10% of the world's silver comes from the state of Zacatecas. And why that happens is because it's infrastructure rich. There's roads everywhere. There's power everywhere. For example, we can drive to one of my projects on a paved road and then 500 meters off the road, so, you know, 400 yards off the road, is where we're looking for a deposit. And the lithium salars, you can, what we call them salars, that's a salt lake. You can drive right up to them and you can drive across them. One of them, when I first came down here, we drove for like 15 minutes at about 40 miles an hour across, and that wasn't even the widest part of the Salt Lake.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's an infrastructure-rich area, which brings your costs of producing whatever you're trying to produce down dramatically. We're not up in the Andes where it's remote, or up in remote parts of Australia or remote parts of Canada. We have road access to everything.
Let me ask you, how does lithium, the numbers, compare to gold at the moment? What does it cost you to get, you said 7,000 a ton on lithium? What is that compared to gold these days? What are your gold costs?
Well, gold costs are kind of similar, you know, depending on where the deposit is and the grade of the deposit. You see, that's what people like Elon Musk, and I think a lot of people in the technology or a lot of people in the world don't really understand is that, you know, there's a cost to get this out. There's a cost to make your phone. There's a cost to make your electric car. And that comes down to grade, cost of producing. And what my goal is I think that we could, you know, be under half of the average world cost of producing lithium, or even lower, because we have other minerals in our deposits that are quite needed. Potassium, for example. If you want to grow anything, you need potassium. You also need boron. And we have high grades of potassium and boron in that will help. See, if you could use your profit from your potassium and your boron to help bring down your average cost of producing your lithium. And that's why I think we could be one of the lowest cost producers because of the science of what we have acquired, the grades, the infrastructure, all of these things combined, and the other metals in the salars, the lithium lakes, that I think could help the economics quite dramatically as well.
Do you see at some point lithium becoming more valuable than gold?
Well, on a per ounce basis, I don't know if it will be more profit or more valuable. But to me, Lauren, it doesn't matter if you're moving rock or dirt for gold, silver, lithium, nickel, copper, whatever it may be. It comes down to how much does it cost you to get the stuff out of there and how much profit are you going to make? You could have a high grade gold mine, but a low grade lithium mine that could be more profitable based on your economics. And that's the level we're at now, where we're going to be in the pilot plant. We can start to test the economics. How much does it cost us to get it out of there? How much do we need of the various things to get it out of there? And what's our profit going to be? So whether I'm looking at any of those various metals, what I'm looking for is profitability per ton of rock or dirt that I move. And this is quite a spectacular opportunity for my company to kind of start focusing on the future, which is battery technology.
What now? I know that you deal a lot with geologists, obviously, and you know, all over the world. What is the consensus? Is there going to be enough lithium supply to meet the demand that's going to be coming?
I don't think so. You look at why is the price going up so dramatically in China? Well, they're increasing their demand for electrification, which is kind of indicative of what's happening worldwide. Meanwhile, as this is happening, the production is declining. You know, the price in economics 101, it tells you that, you know, if your demand increases and your supply will increase as well, because it's more incentive to mine that. But what we're seeing is the opposite. Demand is increasing while supply is decreasing.
So what does that mean in terms of the future? I mean, are we at a point where, or is there like a lithium crisis that we hit at some point?
I think that is exactly what's going to happen. And I don't think that people in the technology world, in the electrification of cars world, I don't think they really get that. I mean, Elon Musk probably does. That's why he's trying to talk down he's one of the demanders of lithium. He doesn't want the price to go up. So what he does is he talks it down. But the reality, if you look at the numbers of supply and demand, it's pointing towards a supply crunch. And that would drive the price of lithium through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw the other day that VW signed a $14 billion 10-year deal with a battery manufacturer out of Sweden. So the big boys, VW, Toyota, I mean, at some point, someone's going to have to really try and corner the market or something with it just to, you know, meet their demand.
Well, what's the alternative? What else could you use? Like, what's the next thing that you guys want to start pulling out of the ground?
Well, for the foreseeable future, it's lithium. And for example, the example that Lauren just gave, that's going to use up about two-thirds of the current production.
So really?
Where's Elon Musk going to get all of his? And where's China going to get all of theirs? And, you know, I think that there's a big supply crunch coming. And
you're not painting a rosy picture here. This sounds pretty rough.
Well, it is, and that's the reality of the trend towards moving to alternative energies, is that, you know, there's a lot of desire to do it, but there's not a lot of understanding of how you do it and the minerals that you need to do it.
It's interesting because, you know, mining is such an old school, I don't want to say blue collar, but you know, you guys are getting your hands dirty. There's obviously a lot of science and all of that behind it. But at the end of the day, you guys got, you know, you guys are getting your hands dirty, your overalls dirty, and, you know, pulling it out of the ground. And I can see a disconnect between your industry and the tech industry, which is so prone to hype and nonsense, you know, where you guys are so reality based. It's probably going to hit them like a ton of brakes at some point.
Absolutely, Lauren. Sooner or later, the technology world is going to come to terms with the reality of how they bring all of the products that they want to bring to the market. I mean, look around you, Lauren. Everything in your life, everything in all of our modern world lives revolves around mining. You don't have copper, you don't have your computer. You don't have copper and other metals, you don't have batteries. You don't have other minerals, you don't have solar, you don't have wind, you don't have uranium. Everything revolves around mining. Meanwhile, the money that is needed to put into, like, you can get all kinds of money for a stupid app that helps you produce cat pictures. But in reality, that money should be going into the ground to find new mines to provide the materials that are needed in order to produce those products that everybody wants. And that's what, you know, you've said to me before, Lauren, it's the future. And you mentioned something earlier about someone needs to corner the market. Well, it's a big market, and I'm not really interested in cornering. What I am interested in cornering is the low-cost production. I think that regardless of what the price of lithium does, if you're a low-cost producer, the price could go in half and kill all kinds of production. You'd still be making a ton of money. If it goes higher, it's all gravy.
Right. You know what I could see? I could see one of the tech companies trying to buy guys like you. I mean, why wouldn't Elon just buy Advanced Gold? Or why wouldn't Google or Apple, for that matter? I mean, it sounds like it's almost leading to that point where they're going to have to partner with a mining company to make sure that they do get their supply.
You're going to see that. You will see that in the future where big tech companies sitting on piles of cash that they can't figure out what to do with because they can't build enough, you know, cat apps. They're going to need to start pumping money into the ground to secure their supply that is crucial to them being able to make their cars and their other technologies. And, you know, right now they're sitting on mounds of cash, and they should be spending that cash in figuring out how to secure their supply, because I really think a lot of metals, copper, you know, copper, we basically, in the copper industry right now, there's such a underinvestment over the last 30 years that it's unrealistic of the amount of new mines that need to be found and put into production, world-class, top tier one mines that need to be put into production. They're just not in the pipeline. And right. So, you know, copper could go to 10 bucks a pound. Right. When I got into the business, it was 60 cents a pound. Right. Wow. Now, trading at over $3 a pound. And as you get higher demand and not enough new mines, and copper is like the oil of new technology. Without copper, you're not going to be able to get that energy out to the end user. So you need a lot more copper mines, you need a lot more nickel mines, you need a lot more cobalt mines, you need a lot more lithium mines to make all of these things that the tech world hypes happen. And they're sitting on mounds of cash and they're not using it effectively. You know, there's only so many cat applications and, you know, silly little picture applications and, you know, all this other nonsense that gets hundreds and hundreds and billions of investment by the venture capitalists. You know, it's ludicrous the way they're using their money.
I think your anger at these cat applications is kind of telling. I think they're you're just jealous that you're unable to mine up cats.
No, Alan's a dog guy. That's what it is. Alan's a dog guy.
I tongue-in-cheek use the cat application.
I know, I got you.
I don't think I need to educate you guys
really
in the tech world of how many silly applications there are out there that are getting hundreds of millions of dollars in financing. And, you know, really, the real trends in technology, you know, need more mining is the big point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, well, to wrap things up, I think you brought up a great point that I think a lot of people just really don't think about, is that you're the start of everything. You know, the mining industry really is the start of the whole technological chain in a way. And that's super interesting to me. And I think a lot of people don't really think about it like that. You know, they don't realize that all of their tech ultimately starts with some mineral in the ground. So really interesting stuff. I have a final question for you, Alan.
Yes.
If Elon calls you to buy the company, do you sell?
I'd rather partner with him, make money together, but we'll see. If he offers me enough money, I'll sell it. I think that there's in the Salars we have, in the Salt Lakes we have down here, there's 50 to 100 years of production. And I'd rather be part of being the next Rockefeller than giving that to Elon Musk on the cheap.
You might have to start taking lithium if you start dealing with Elon anyway.
Well, I think Elon's going to need partners like me more than, you can throw cash around, Lauren, but at the end of the day, it's like in Venezuela. Venezuela tried to nationalize the mining business and found a gold mining business and found out very quickly that they can't do it effectively. They need the miner. They need the guy who knows how to get his fingers dirty and his overalls dirty. And I think Elon Musk is like a big Venezuela. You know, he can't just throw his money around he's still going to need the mining guys. And there's just not enough of us around. You know, while there's been underinvestment in investing for new mines of all kinds of different metals, there's just not enough of us kind of guys around there. They've all went into technology instead of doing the hard work.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you, Alan, for joining us. This is we don't usually do interview shows, but I think this is pretty cool stuff.
Well, I think the technology world really will, as a supply crunch happens, I think the technology world is going to start talking more about the mining world, because without the mining world, the technology world is, you can just basically turn off everything.
All right. Sounds good. All right. This has been Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I am Lauren Feldman. I want to thank our guest, Alan Barry Laboucan, once again from advancegold.ca. You can check him out at that website. Thanks for joining us, Alan.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a very interesting conversation, and I look forward to having another one in the future.
Excellent.
Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.